Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Mark, chapter 4. Mark, chapter 4. We'll read verses 35 through 41 together. Read this passage responsively. And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there rose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose, and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And let's finish on verse 41 together. Ready? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you've done for us. Father, thank you for your presence here in this place. Thank you for a man of God in our city, in our town, in our area, and a church that stands for you. Now, Father, please allow the Holy Spirit to preach through our preacher today. May our ears be open to receive what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
That's one of my voice students, and I'm so proud of him. You know, some sermons that are preached seem as if they're for the future. Some sermons seem to help us at the moment. Some sermons help us on a given day. Other sermons seem like they're for that week. Some sermons seem like they help us through a season of life. There are other sermons that help us through a tough year. The sermon that I'm going to preach to you today is to help your entire life. It's not one of those that I would want you to forget later on today or next week. I think honestly, if you listen to it, it's something that you need, and you'll need it for the rest of your life. So, I beg of you that you do not listen casually, but you listen very intensely. Fasten on every word and listen, please, because I honestly think that this sermon is going to help you to make it from here to Hallelujah Square, and you're going to need it. You heard the scripture read earlier. Jesus and his disciples were on a ship in the Sea of Galilee. A great storm came. The Bible says the wind was blowing and water began to fill the ship on which they were sailing. Now, Jesus was asleep, the Bible says. During the storm, he was asleep. The Bible even goes as far as to say he was sleeping on a pillow. That's how comfortable he was during the storm. It's a wonderful thing. God is not in a panic mode. Everything's all right in my Father's house. How could he be sleeping during the storm? Everything's all right in my Father's house. They panicked. And may I say, the men panicked. The men on that ship, they were in panic. They were full of fear. And in a panic, they woke Jesus up and said, Master, carest not that we perish? He climbed out of bed. He went up on the top of the ship. He said to the sea, the winds and the waves, Peace be still. They stood up, saluted him, and calmed down. The wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Jesus said to the panicked and fearful Christians on that ship, Why are ye so fearful? Then he said, How is it ye have no faith? Those are his exact words. Why are ye so fearful? How is it ye have no faith? Now, fearful, what does that mean? full of fear. Faithful. What does it mean? Full of faith. Hateful. What does it mean? Full of hate. Beanful. What does it mean? You're full of beans. He said you're fearful. What did it mean? You are full of fear. Now, fear is the absence of faith. Fear is the opposite of faith. Fear may be the enemy of faith. Big fear equals little faith. But big faith equals little fear. Jesus said, because you are full of fear, you're not full of faith. You know something? I can only get so much water in this glass. Once it is full, there's not room for anything else. Now, if my glass were full of fear, there'd be no room for faith. Some of you need to pour out some of the fear and make some room for some faith. Fearful. Fearful. The title of my sermon is very simple. So fearful, no faith. So fearful, no faith. He said, because you're full of fear, you're not full of faith. The Bible says in Romans 14:23, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now let me explain something real simple to you about faith. Faith, the best way to say it is, maybe faith has three parts to it. Faith is belief, but then faith also has an ingredient called doubt. You understand that if there were nothing to doubt, there'd be no need for faith. So that doubt is what necessitates this thing called faith. It is that doubt that necessitates this thing of putting your faith in something. And so you have doubt, and then you have belief. Now, what do we do here then? Well, something's happened. I have a doubt. But wait a minute. I need to believe. I then must make a choice, which is the third part of faith. I must make a choice. Will I step out on the doubt? Or will I step out on the belief? So you see, something happens. I doubt. But yet, I believe. And then I consciously say, I will step out on my belief in the fact that God is good and on my belief that God will take care of me. So I step out on my belief, and that is faith in action. Let me tell you where fear comes from. Fear comes when you step out on the doubt instead of stepping out on the belief. Everybody experiences some fear. Nobody has perfect faith. Speaking of fear, this last week, Labor Day. At our house, Labor Day, we labor. That's clean the garage once a year day. And boy, does it need cleaning. I was opening up the garage doors. And now y'all have to remember something. Just hear me say, you all. I'm from Indiana, and so for all those years, I'm trying to learn to talk hillbilly. I'm trying to use ain't all I can and stuff like that, but it's difficult. I'm adjusting. But let me tell you something that's really tough to adjust to. I opened up my garage door, and I seen I thought I saw one snake. Now, it wasn't a black snake. It was a copperhead. Then I noticed two. They were coiled up together. Must have been a husband-wife thing. I'm not sure. Now, I had dealt with the snakes before. I went and got something, and I killed them. I went and got my wife. No. I mean, I killed them, and then I went and got my wife. Oh, wow. Take that out of the tape. She come out there and she said, oh, honey, that would scare me to death. I said, well, no.
No problem.
Now, she said, "You're my hero." That's exactly what I wanted her to say. Why in the world show a woman dead snakes unless you're going to get something out of it? So I was her hero. They're still there in the driveway. It's just like, mounting a big old buck above your fireplace. I just left them two snakes. They stink to high heaven. But everybody comes out and say, "I killed those snakes." But here's the thing about it, though. When I lifted the garage door, my immediate response was not, "Hey, I'll kill those things." My immediate response was, "Wow!" If the neighbors were watching, they don't feel as confident about my manhood as my wife did when she was not watching. You see, I took care of the fear out of her presence. I got the courage, and then the faith kicked in, and I killed those little darlings. But have you seen the first response? It was very human. So many times things happen to us, and the first response is that fear. And we must logically think through it and say, now I have a couple of choices here. I can let fear take over, or I can take my belief in the fact that God is good and He's going to take care of me. I can step out on my belief rather than my doubt. You know, to experience fear is not sin, but to be ruled by fear, that is sin. For any decision to be made based on fear is not right. For fear to keep you from doing what God wants you to do, that's not right. Now, to fear God, you say, the Bible says to fear God. Oh, yes, indeed it does. But that word fear there is totally different. It means to reverence or respect Him. And may I add, you better fear God. And He's we sing a song with the children. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. Now, we have a reason to reverence and to fear Him. But I'm talking about the fear in your life, not of God, not that reverence. I'm talking about when doubt seems to kick in, and then we fear. We don't trust God. Let me make it easy. What is fear? What exactly is it? I allowed Mr. Webster to help me listen to this because his definition seems to have a biblical root to it. Webster said, fear is a distressing emotion aroused by either a real or an imagined danger. Then he said, it's an attitude. Wow, it's an attitude? By an either real or an imagined problem, danger, evil, or pain. What is fear? Maybe fear is the anticipation of disaster. Maybe fear is the anticipation that the worst is about to happen. Maybe fear is the anticipation of failure. When I say anticipation, so I make sure you understand that, it means you think it's coming. You know something? There's no way for you to predict next week. What is fear? Is it the anticipation of embarrassment? Now, the verse that most people use when they talk about fear is found in the book of Hebrews. But when somebody uses a verse about faith, the Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now, let me explain something. What that's saying is faith is the substance of something we're looking forward to. That must be the opposite of fear. Because fear is an advance pain for something that might come. Faith is a hope that something good is coming. You see the difference between faith and fear? Faith naturally makes you feel like what is what is next is good. That's what faith says to us. Something good is next. Fear says something bad is next. They're contrary to one another. In Luke chapter 12, verse 7, it says, "But even the very hairs of your head are numbered. Fear not, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows." You know something? God's got His eye on you. Hey, this thing called fear, it's the anticipation that something's going to go wrong. I looked up the word faith in the Greek language. Do you know what its definition is? Faithless. Look it up. Faithless. Fear is the opposite of faith. Jesus said to them as they were on that ship, "You're so fearful." Then he said, "Where is your faith?" Because when you're full of fear, you're not full of faith. And we're to be full of faith. Why? So you're not full of fear. Because he does not want you to be full of fear. See, it's not a fear problem that you have. It's a faith problem that you have. The psychiatrist says, "We've got to fix your fear." God said, "We've got to fix your faith." Because to fix the faith will conquer the fear. To fix the fear is not to add faith. That's why the psychiatrist would disagree with the Bible. But who are you going to trust? God or man? The Bible says, "Let God be true and every man a liar." Listen now, Habakkuk 2:4 says that the just shall live by faith. It does not say the just shall live by fear. When it talks about just there, it talks about those of us that have been justified, we're saved, we're born again. If you're a born again Christian and you're in this building today, you are to live by faith, not by fear. If you're not born again, you're going to have a lot of fears because you don't know what to put your faith in. Put your faith in Jesus Christ, get born again, and then you'll have the same security that born again people have. We have the security of knowing that God is good to us. And so, let me give you a couple Bible verses on fear. Just listen. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind." What's he saying? You might find that you don't have a sound mind if you are dominated by fear, because fear is the absence of faith, and it is faith that will calm your mind. 1 John 4:18 says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect. He that feareth is not made perfect in love." You know something? God loves you. If you would accept the fact that God loves you, it would cast out so many of your fears. I'd take care of it all. I could shut this sermon down right now and be done with it. If everybody here would accept the fact God loves you with a perfect, with a holy love, He loves you. Listen, if you would accept the fact that the God of the universe loves you, it would do away with your fear, because He knows what's going on. He loves you. It's non-negotiable love. It is a love that is deeper than the sea, higher than the stars. Hey, relax. God loves you. But that fear comes, and we doubt. But you see, love casteth out that fear. Let me help your marriage. Just one statement. The Bible says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it." Say, "My wife has fears." What's the answer? One of the biggest answers is love her. Love her like Christ loved the church. Why? The love of God that casts the fear out of the church is a love. If you will love your wife with that same kind of love, you can help calm her fears. You say, "But her fears are deep." God would not have you to marry her had He not given you enough love to dig deeper than her fears. Luke chapter 12, verse 7. "But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows." God watches for the sparrows. He'll watch for you. Psalm 56:4 says, "In God I will praise His word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me." Psalm 23:4 says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me." Did you know something? Did you know that fear can cause you triple suffering in life? I love what I'm about to teach you. I had such a good time when I started working on this. Fear can cause you to suffer three times. I call it triple suffering. Listen, folks, everybody goes through tough times in life. I mean, you're just going to have to accept it. Every person here, young people, if you have not gone through a tough time where you were filled with fear, it will come. It's going to happen. Those young couples, maybe you don't have children yet, and life's a little smoother for you. Believe me, things happen, and life takes its twists and its turns. Everybody here, you're going to suffer. You're going to go through some tough times. We're not going to get out of it. So pain is going to come to us all. Everybody here, you will suffer pain. But I have made a decision. I don't want to suffer before I need to suffer. I don't want to suffer any longer than what I have to suffer. But do you know that fear causes extra suffering? Now listen, some of you say, I don't want to face what I'm going to face. I don't want to suffer. And you know what you do? Fear causes you to suffer in advance to the actual pain.
Right.
Triple suffering. Listen. Fear causes us to suffer because of what may be coming our way. So you begin to, in advance, suffer a pain that may or may not come. Fear already has you suffering before the pain ever gets to you. Advanced suffering. Then, there is the pain that comes when we face what we must face. Now, we may or may not face it. We will all face pain someday. So there's the second part of suffering. We have the fear that it may come, so we begin to suffer in advance. It does come, and we have the pain and the suffering when it arrives. And then the devil comes along, and after we've passed through it, we look back and fear what happened to us. Post-suffering. You've got pre, before, you've got the suffering that takes place at the time, and then the devil comes along and he says, see what happened to you? You ought to fear what already happened to you, and you suffer three times. The most we should have suffered was once. We cause ourselves more suffering by allowing fear to dominate our life. Fear causes unnecessary suffering. Now listen, I decided I don't like pain. I don't mind it if it's somebody else, but it really bothers me when it's me. You know, the only time a surgery is a little surgery, it's when it's somebody else's, but when it's my surgery, there's no such thing as a little surgery. Why suffer unnecessarily? And so, this thing called fear, it's the opposite of faith. And if you're not careful, the devil will come along, he'll get you to fear, you'll suffer before the incident, during the incident, then look back and experience pain that you didn't have to experience once it's already over, post-suffering. Listen, fear should not control your life. God should. Fear should not control your life. God should. You know, some people operate by fear all the time. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not to thine own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Listen, everything we do should be done by faith. And we should not be living our life, making our decisions by fear, but by faith. Fear paralyzes people. It paralyzes people. I think fear is one of the devil's most successful tools in a Christian life. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Now let's analyze that for just a moment. If it is not God that gives us a spirit of fear, who do you think it is? Who did it? There used to be a black comedian. His name was Flip Wilson. Any of you remember Flip Wilson? Flip would say, the devil made me do it. Well, every time you find yourself slipping into fear, you better stop and realize that God made you do it. Because God is not God is not the one that gives us a spirit of fear. See, the devil uses fear to keep us from God's will. Nobody wants to fail. Nobody wants to fail. So if the devil can get you to fear, that is, anticipate failure, he can keep you from doing something. I wonder how many times the devil has kept you from doing the will of God because you anticipated the possibility of failure, and it was the devil using fear to keep you away from what God wanted to do with you. I won't try. I might fail. I might embarrass myself. I could get hurt. Could. Advance suffering, and the devil has psyched you out. Has it occurred to you that God wants you to succeed? By faith, do what God wants you to do. Obey His Word. Never fear obedience to God. There's no reason in the world to fear obedience to God. If the Bible says do it, do it. Don't do it in fear. Just step out and believe God. God's good for His Word. Don't you worry about that. Let's take salvation, for instance. Well, I get saved, but I'm afraid, could I live up to being a good Christian? Now, first of all, let me explain something to you. You don't live it to get it in regard to salvation. He lived it. That's why you get it. It's a gift. But the devil comes and he psychs you out and he says to you, boy, if you get saved, you're going to be expected to live a certain way. And by the way, when you get born again, you ought to be trying to live like a Christian. But there are people in this room, you're on your way to hell, you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, the devil has you psyched out in regard to this thing called fear. He says, you know, look, if you get saved, are you going to be able to live the Christian life? Are you going to be able to do it? Now you listen to me, that very fear right there will keep you from getting born again. You get saved because of what He did and you receive it as a free gift. Don't you let the devil put fear in your life about salvation. He'll do it all. You receive it. We all fear. Can we live for God like we ought to live? There are people dying and go to hell over the fear of living up to the expectation of being a Christian after salvation. How about baptism? You got saved, the Bible very clearly teaches, after you get saved, you're to get baptized by immersion. Well, that means all the way under the water. You don't get saved by getting baptized. You get baptized because you are saved. Getting wet never saved anybody. But wait a minute. You're saved, you never follow the Lord in believer's baptism, but you fear. You fear water. Now the devil, he wants to keep you out of that baptistry. So, he says, fear. Now picture, what are you fearing? I could drown. I've been preaching for 28 years. Nobody that I know of ever has drowned while being baptized. I can drown. The devil, he's standing back going, sucker. Look how the devil manipulates us. He causes us to fear things that do not even exist. And if he can, he'll get you suffering weeks in advance. How about soul winning? We are to tell others about Jesus Christ. Whether you're a brand new Christian or a brand old Christian, everybody's supposed to tell people about Jesus Christ. Why don't we? Fear. The anticipation of rejection, that's the part I don't like. I just hate being rejected. Hey, let me tell you something. It is not you they're rejecting. It is Jesus Christ they're rejecting. But the devil, he psychs you out. He enters with this thing called fear. Now look, anybody that goes out soul winning and witness for our Lord, there's that moment of where you want to step out and believe it's what you're supposed to do. And then enters that little bit of doubt where the devil begins to play with that doubt. Now what do you need to do? Step out on the belief and do it. You say, I don't want to be rejected. I don't want them to push me away. They're not pushing you away. They're pushing God away. And He can take it because He has no fear. There are people here that do not tell others about Jesus Christ because the devil has stolen your faith and replaced it with fear. Fear paralyzes. Faith propels. How about tithing? If I do it, I may fall on hard times. Listen, I fall on hard times on a regular basis, and so do you. So does everybody. Have you noticed? Soft times, hard times. Soft times, hard times. Good times, bad times. That's life. You don't make your decision based on what you think might happen to you. You make your decision based on your faith in the Word of God. You fear that God won't take care of you if you tithe? Guess who's taking care of you all the time? Faith says He will provide. Put your faith in the Word of God and obey Him. Don't let the devil psych you out. Don't let him bring fear into your life. Jesus was on that ship, and He was asleep on a pillow, and they said, we're all going to perish. And He woke up and said, you are full of fear. Therefore, you're not full of faith. You know what He did? He went ahead and took care of them. Same thing He was doing while He was asleep. But they recognize it now. It wasn't His problem, it was their problem. It's not God's problem, it's your problem. How about the fear? Stay with me now. The fear of being alone. You all believe the Bible. This is a King James Bible. You believe the Bible's Word of God, amen? Listen to this. The fear of being alone. Listen to what your God says. Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed. For I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Let me explain something to you. You're never alone. Never alone. You say, I've been forsaken. You may be forsaken by human beings. You should be forsaken by Him. Psalm 56:4, in God I will praise His Word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Hebrews 13:5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Never, never, never leave thee. He's never. Hey, once you're born again, He'll never leave you. You're never alone. Some of you need to claim the Scripture. He's with you. He's with you. You know what? Fear takes God's abilities out of the picture. Fear, your fear, handcuffs what God could be doing if you take the handcuffs off and just live by faith. Fear eliminates God from your situation. Not because He's not there, it's because you ignore Him. You ignore what's available at the moment. He's right there. He never left you. All the time, you're scared while you're alone. There's no reason to fear. There's somebody in the house with you. So if you're all alone in life, I guess you need to open your spiritual eyes and realize if you're a born-again Christian, you're never alone. No, never alone. Never alone. Guess what? God is alive and well. God is able to handle anything that comes your way. You know, when we fear, I think we've forgotten God. You know what we've forgotten? Revelation 19:6 says, the Lord omnipotent reigneth. We have forgotten the immediate availability, and the very presence of the God that reigns over the entire universe. That's what we've forgotten. And the devil is very good at getting us to forget, isn't he? He's in control of all things. God's not dead. You know, Jesus was on that ship. He was right on the ship having a nap on a pillow. And his men were having panic attacks. Jesus woke up. Had they forgotten who was on that very ship? They said, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" Now, hey, answer the question. Did he care? Was he caring when they were responding wrong? Was this a Jesus problem? No, it was a people problem. We perish. Wait a minute. We perish? Brother Bush, come up here. I'm going to let you be Jesus for a second. It's the closest you'll ever get to being Jesus. If this is Jesus, and I am panicked about being on a ship that's got water on it, and I go to him and say, "Carest not that we perish? We." Jesus? We? See what he's saying? Did they think God was going to die? Was he going down with the ship? No. And Jesus Christ is as much with you in your ship as he was with them in their ship. Look, thank you, Brother Bush. So many times you virtually disarm your God and his ability to bring you peace and to bring you calm. Because you step out on your doubt instead of stepping out on your faith. God's not forgotten you. God's not ignoring you. You're ignoring him. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." That's not a verse that we have to understand. We just have to know God's good all the time. God knows what he's doing. You know, you don't have to understand what God is doing. You just need to have faith in his ability to handle everything. You know, somebody that could speak the universe into existence, I've got a hunch he could handle your situation. And just so you know, you say, "Well, preacher, you're really being rough." I didn't write this book. I just preached the book. Jesus is the one that said to them, "You are full of fear. Where is your faith?" Have faith, not fear. You take Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were told, "If you boys don't recant, we're going to throw you in a burning, fiery furnace." Now, what do you think happened? Don't you think there was a moment when them boys said, "Whoa, boy, what's going to happen to us?" There's the doubt. And another part of them said, "We're going to be fine. It's going to be okay. God will take care of us." And then doubt came and said, "Well, you know, fire, that hurts. It burns. And fire is hot." And the faith part said, or the belief part said, but God's with us. And God's not forsaken us, and we've got to do what's right. We can't turn our back on God. And they stepped up and said, "We will step out on our faith, not on our fear." And they said, "Throw us in. Our God will deliver us." But you know, if you really study the scripture, you find out that they said, "But if he doesn't, we're going to obey anyhow, because we trust whatever he does, because he's a good God." One day in heaven, the Lord decided he would visit the earth. Take a little stroll down here, and walking down the road, the Lord encountered a man that was full of fear and crying. And the Lord asked the man, "Why are you crying? And why are you so fearful, my son?" And the man said, "I'm blind. I've never seen a sunset." And the Lord touched the man. Then the man could see, and the man was so happy, and his fear left. As the Lord walked further up the road, he met another man crying and full of fear. And he said, "Why are you so fearful?" And the man said, "I was born crippled. I've never been able to walk." And the Lord touched the man, made him so he could walk. The man was so happy. Farther down the road, the Lord met another man. This man was crying and panicked and in extreme fear. The Lord said, "My son, why do you fear? Why do you cry like this?" And the man said, I was just told my mother-in-law is coming to stay for the summer. And the Lord sat down and began to cry with him. You know, we fear because we don't know the promises of God. Psalm 118, verse number 4 says, "Let them now that fear the Lord say that His mercy endureth forever." We fear because we don't know the promises of God. Psalm 118, verse number 6, the Bible says, "The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me." God is on your side. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10 says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God." He is with you, Christian. Psalm 23:4 says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." You have nothing to fear. You say, "But there's evil out there." Yes, there is. But there's God in here. There's God in here. And greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Now, rise up, Christian. Rise up and claim the God that lives within you. And don't let the devil psych you out of doing something great for God. Step out on your belief and turn your back on your doubt. Isaiah 42 verse 4 says, "He shall not fail nor be discouraged." You know that God cannot fail. Boy, that's encouraging. Boy, that's encouraging. Psalm 100 verse 5, the Bible says, "For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting." Get this. God is good. And you know what many people answer? All the time. I wish I could drive it into your mind. He loves you. That will cast out fear. God is good. Say it all the time. God is good all the time. God is good all the time. Say it. God is good. All the time. God is good all the time. Now you listen to me. You have forgotten that your God is good all the time, and that fear creeps in and you become fearful instead of faithful, and because of it there are so many things that you could have going for you. There are so many ways you could have victory in your life. Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." There's some of you, you fear the loss of your salvation. The Bible is very clear. Once you get saved, you're always saved because He did it. He did it. Stop fearing that. Stop fearing that. God cannot lie. And God said, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Not might be saved, not could be saved, not there's a possibility of it. If you, in faith, trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're saved and it's taken care of. Your sins are washed by the blood of the Lamb. And God can't lie. Stop worrying about that thing. If you're saved, God did it, not you. God can't fail. You're saved, signed, sealed, delivered. It's all packaged up. Stop worrying about it. Hebrews 6:18 says that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. He promised you that He'd save you if you'd come by faith. He did. There are some of you, there are so many victories available in your life that you'll never have because God saved you, and you spend all your time worrying about, "Do I have it? Do I don't? Do I have it? I don't. I do. I don't. I do. I don't." Stop! If you trusted Him, now trust Him after trusting Him. We should not be panicking. We should be persevering. And then, Brother Owens, "I don't have the kind of faith you have. If you only had my fears..." Well, I've got a choice too. Let's see, which God you serving? Must be the same one I'm serving. Show me in the Bible where it says that He's going to give me more than you. I want to dump the fear out of my cup so I can fill it up with faith. It's a conscious decision that every person here has to make. What are you full of? Remember, I preached a sermon like that. Y'all remember it? Awesome Sunday night crowd. Because I announced the title in advance. What are you full of? You know, I want to be full of faith. Faith. Let me give you one more thing and I'll be finished. You know, the title of the sermon again, if I could... "So fearful, no faith. What is fear? Anticipation of the negative. There are lots of Bible verses on it. Fear can cause triple suffering because we suffer in advance to the pain, at the time of the pain, and then we'll even suffer after it by looking back and allowing fear to control us after we've already gone through the hard time. There are many things that we fear. But when we fear, we've forgotten God. We fear because we don't know the promises of God. I think we fear because we've forgotten past victories. You've forgotten God's record. What kind of record does God have? Perfect. Never let any Christian down ever. Ever. Never done wrong. You know, the disciples on that ship had watched Jesus do other things. They had the history in the Old Testament of this God and what He had done for God's people. They were aware. They'd known of things that Jesus Christ had done and could do. I'm wondering if they had forgotten God's record. They had forgotten the record of Jesus Christ. They had forgotten past victories. They had forgotten He had already proven He was worthy of our trust. They had forgotten His ability to care for them. If there was somebody on that ship and they were 50 years old and they panicked, you know, all they need to do is think back for 50 years and figure out who fed them for 50 years. They'd forgotten the past victories. Hey, just look back at what He's done for you in the past. That'll help you get over some of your fear. Has not God established a pretty good record? Force fear to flee. You just have faith and you look back at what God's already done for you and done for others. Think back at the time that you panicked for no reason. It embarrasses me. I can think of times when I just flat out panicked and I let the devil get the best of me. And then when I came to my senses, I realized what a waste of energy. What a waste of relationships. Think of how many times fear caused you to panic and to behave in such a way that you hurt someone and what you feared never even came upon you. The devil psyched you out, didn't he? Think back at the times that you panicked for no reason and He was there all the time. You know what I think happened with David and Goliath? I think that when David was facing Goliath, I think there was some fear there. Do you know what I think happened? I think as David was walking out there with his little sling, looking at over 9 foot tall Goliath, I think one thing David kept on saying to himself is, I whipped the bear. I whipped that lion. I whipped the bear. I whipped that lion. I whipped the bear. I whipped that lion. Why? He knew what God had done before. He said, if He'd done it before, He can do it again. He could look back. Boy, I remember something. I remember I bungee jumped once. Stupidest thing a man could do. I was sober when I did it. I'm standing up there on this platform. I've got a rubber band tied around my ankles. I wasn't dumb enough to, you know, do it around my waist. I was going head first. The only reason I did it to boost the church attendance. Oh, what pastors will do to get the church attendance up. Well, let me tell you something. Before I bungee jump again, this church can go down to zero. We're not doing it anymore. I bungee jumped. A perfectly sane man, I thought. I'm standing about 200 feet above the ground with a rubber band attached to my ankles. And the man said, cross your arms and just dive forward. Now, as I'm standing there, there's a part of me that says, believe, believe, believe. But at that moment, there were a bigger part of me saying, doubt, 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 doubt. My wife is on the ground and she's trying to videotape it. She's saying, it's okay, honey. And I'm up there thinking, no, it's not. I was up there for almost 10 minutes. If you ever seen the video, I'm standing at the end of this platform getting ready to go off head first. And right before I did it, they made me sign a document that it was a waiver that would release them of any responsibility or lawsuit, because one of out of every 100 people are maimed or die from this thing. I have never perspired at such a rapid rate in my life. I'm standing there, and the devil, you know, you ever seen the cartoons where the devil comes on one shoulder and a little angel on the other? My devil was the size of Brother Gwynn, man. He was over here. We're talking about a major mama. He's over here, and I'm sweating. I'm thinking there are people watching. Everybody's watching. I'm a man of God. I'm supposed to have faith, and right now, I want to listen to this guy. The devil's sounding real good. Why do this? You know what I finally had to do? I finally decided I would step out and believe everything was going to be okay. Everything was okay.
I walk like this now.
But for the most part, everything's okay. There are some of you, you are facing something and it's got you scared to death, and God has told you to keep on going by faith or step out by faith, and you're just like me on top of that platform. You're saying this seems like, hey, it doesn't make any sense. Trust your God. Your God knows what you need to do, and just go ahead and do what you need to do. Your God, He is so big, He's so strong, He's so mighty, He loves you, He's with you, He'll protect you, He'll take care of you. And if it doesn't turn out the way you thought it should, it will turn out the way He thought it should. Trust Him today. People everywhere across this nation, Christians, so full of fear, they're destroying their lives. God has brought you through so much already. For you not to trust Him is virtually a slap in His face. Say, Brother Owens, I just don't have perfect faith. Welcome to the club. If you had seen me when I first recognized those two snakes. Say, what really scared me, I thought it was one. So I went to kill the one, and I was thinking, whoa, I'm a tough one. And then the other one started coming at me. I thought, whoa. Now, at that moment, half as tough as what I thought I was. Now, the other one went down out of, you ever conquer anything out of pure fear? What? And, you know, the whole driveway's got big dents in it, you know, the size of a baseball bat. I panicked. Just like you panic and get a hold of yourself and step out on your belief. Not on your doubt. Because faith is stepping out on the belief. Fear comes from stepping out on the doubt. They panicked. But it was right there on that ship. There are some of you, you need to get this tape. You need to listen to it. Some of you need to get it and you need to listen to it when you panicked and you're at home and you're just going crazy. Get it out, just like, hey, get it out like you would take your pills and stick it in there and say, God, I've got to have the faith that You are there. I'm stepping out. I'm going to believe You. I'm going on with my life. I'm not letting the devil psych me out of the victories that You have for me. If you're not saved today, you need to get born again. Say, what do I do? You step aside. You push doubt aside. You say, I'm going to put my faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. Push that doubt aside. Well, if I got saved, what do I do? In a moment, we'll have an altar call. The choir will sing. These men on the platform will stand at the end of each aisle. I'll tell you what will happen. If you're not born again, I'm going to say, yeah, leave your seat and come down here. And fear is going to strike you immediately.
I'd be embarrassed. What would people think?
Push it all aside and say, I'm getting saved. I'm going to do the right thing. I'm getting saved today. That's the right thing to do. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed.